This is CBS. I am the world. I'm John Batchelor. The recovery from the pandemic, work from home, and what appears to be an out-of-control crime and homelessness problem in major American cities. San Francisco repeatedly is in the news for all of those problems. Right now, we have fresh news that the 1,921-room Hilton San Francisco Union Square and the 1,024-room Park 55 in San Francisco are closing near enough. Why? Business. I welcome Chris Riegel, the CEO of Scala.com, a global technology firm transforming the retail space with digital signage. This is the Scala Report. Chris, you've been traveling during the pandemic to San Francisco now and again. I recall an anecdote you told of looking out of your hotel room. I believe you were in San Jose, outside of urban San Francisco, but certainly integrated in the Silicon Valley, seeing empty parking lots. Those empty parking lots, those work-from-home workers, are they enough to explain the exit from San Francisco of the Hilton and Park hotels? Good evening to you, Chris.
Good evening, John. Not to their base, in that those workers working from home have certainly impacted the San Francisco economy. Probably the largest single factor is the crime. From attending several conventions in San Francisco in the last 2 to 3 years, seeing the kind of decay in the city that you see from the waste and abuse on the streets, the crime impacting retailers in San Francisco, the decline in tourism, the decline in convention business. This is kind of a very, very nasty spiral of, if people do not feel safe in the city, people stop going to the city. And then that has the impact of making large hotels like these two, as discussed, no longer financially viable. So you're in that doom loop scenario, but this is most likely triggered by the crime and the chaos on the streets as opposed to work from home.
Heretofore, we've been talking about retail space closing on the street level, storefronts, or big shopping centers, Nordstrom. These are major hotel systems, more than 2,000 rooms between them. That's convention business, isn't it? Or is it convention and tourist business, meaning that it isn't just the shoppers who live in the neighborhood anymore, it's people traveling to San Francisco? Have I interpreted that correctly, Chris?
No, you've interpreted it perfectly. Pre-pandemic, San Francisco had like a mid-80s to upper 80s occupancy rate in hotels. When you think of all the tech companies in the Bay Area, Apple, Facebook, Google, et cetera, San Francisco could flourish on tech conferences alone in keeping those hotel rooms full. In the pandemic, many of those events went virtual. Now, because of some of the crime and issues in the city, many of those events are going to other locations. So it becomes that point of, the city as part of an ecosystem is a great draw, as a beautiful city with good dining and great attractions and conventions to drive people in. Now, as that convention business is fragmented, as the city is not as safe, as the retail is declining, you have a problem that there's no one simple fix for.
The problems in San Francisco, some of them are unique to the positioning of the city right next to the richest people in the solar system. However, the overall problem we can find in other cities, especially established veteran cities, Chicago, Philadelphia, New York, Boston, certainly Los Angeles. And we need a technical explanation. And Chris has helped me understand. An interest-only mortgage. The companies responsible for these hotels and office towers, say in Philadelphia, have committed a great deal to the paying of the interest only over a finite period of time, 10 years or 15 years. And at the end, the balance is due. They're now walking away. Does that, turning the keys over to the lender and walking away, does that leave them with an obligation, or is it all now in the hands of the banks?
So, John, in many cases in these commercial loans, you have what are called non-recourse loans. So as the economic climate provides more headwinds, whether in the hotel or office industry, these owners are simply saying, hey, this property is no longer viable. They hand the keys back to the bank and kind of walk away scot-free. The banks are then saddled with properties that may be worth 50, 60, 70% less than the debt that is attached to those buildings. So you're in an economic cycle there where you'll have major revaluations down. In San Francisco, it's noted on these properties, they may be worth 60 to 70% less than the money that's owed against them now. So you have a problem that initially is a banking problem because banks are going to take huge write-downs on the values of these loans. Secondarily, at the municipal side, because cities and counties collect property taxes on buildings, those property tax valuations will go down 50, 60, 70% as well. And there'll be a pinch in 1, 2, 3 years on municipal government budgets because of the shortfall of funds as the property values decline.
The Wall Street Journal reporting in these last days that the sum total of interest-only buildings coming due over the next 3 years is $1.5 trillion. I do not believe our system has expected that scale coming its way. So let's connect it to what can rescue some of these buildings and some of these hotels. Work from home. How much of this, in your thinking, Chris, because you're an employer as well as a traveler, how much of this is work from home and we'll shake it off as we get farther away from the pandemic and all of the controversies of vaccine? Can we return to 70, 80, 90% occupancy of the towers?
John, I think you'll see kind of a reset in the amount of commercial office space that's required. So some industries will allow for work from home. Other industries are aggressively pushing people to come back into the office. But there's a number of challenges. Within that use case, when it's a work from home and a remote worker, I think American workers miss the opportunity to understand that many of those employers could say, if I have remote people, why do I not have remote people working from Guadalajara or Mumbai or other if they're remote at a much lower rate? So it's a risk to that American worker, number one. Number two, in the core cities, with fewer people around, if there's less police presence, if people don't feel safe, there'll be more resistance to coming back. So the best ways to solve this problem, A, is trying to encourage as many employers to have people get back into the office, if that's tax credits, other incentives to those employers to drive those central city economies again, number one. Number two, more police on the streets and more aggressive policing to remove some of the risks to those workers when they're going to the office.
I noted, I believe I saw it in passing, I might have the number wrong, either $63 or $93 million requested by Mayor London Breed in San Francisco for the police department. Certainly that is a reversal from the assumptions of these last years about what can be done about the disorder in the street. Funding police is part of it. We need to move to China, Chris. Just here to note that over the last week since we talked, I've been told that the property collapse continues, the youth unemployment continues, over 20% and climbing. At the same time, there is not a lot of new money going into China. There is exit of investor class money. And the manufacturing center is now admitted to be stutter steps, a recession, a mini recession or a beginning recession in Europe contributing to that. Have you heard anecdotes in any fashion that there's a recovery or a bottom reached in China over these last weeks?
No bottom yet. Still substantial challenges with capital constriction and capital leaving China on many fronts. And you're now faced with the issue of zombie developers and zombie banks. So in both cases, the government cannot confront some of the fundamental problems there because there's not enough money to bail those developers and banks out. So it continues to be an extend and pretend. The question is how long they can do that until it becomes disruptive to the Chinese economy. Time will tell.
Is there any insight as to what it is that Mr. Blinken or Ms. Yellen or even DCI Burns talking to China about trade? Is there some magic system that can start again to help China trade with the U.S.? We have about 30 seconds.
The Chinese are looking for a bailout, which is American capital coming into China to help re-kickstart that economy. The irony is that that would be U.S. bonds sold to Chinese investors to give money back to China. So an interesting capital loop there as well.
So China really does need the U.S. The entanglement is real. It's not just diplomacy, correct?
China needs orders from the U.S. and needs the capital to fulfill those orders, no question.
And the conditions in China are conducive to it now. You know, there was always that question about a Chinese contract is good tonight, but renegotiate tomorrow. Has that changed?
With the global economy tightening, the Chinese are getting more and more aggressive towards orders as things continue to slow. More stories of factories with excess capacity and layoffs.
Chris Swiegels, the CEO of Scala.com, a global technology firm transforming the retail space with digital signage. This is the Scala Report. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.